our world, because our world is so different to theirs. This beautiful little filly, I can see her in my mind. I picture her right now.
We might move along into our St. Users group questions. Thank you, everyone who submitted.
So now wherever I go, I try and give back to them, because I know I wouldn't be here without them. And so when I hear that, it brings tears to my eyes, because you're all giving back to the horses. And
welcome, everyone, to episode 107 of the Send Nutrition Podcast. You're with your host, Brian, today. And on today's podcast, we are welcoming in Guy McLean, our very special guest, and he is at the Sen headquarters this morning. We will be catching up with him and getting an update on all things to do in Guy McLean's world. And also, we will be answering a couple of Sen Users Group questions that everyone has submitted. So we thank everyone for their submissions for this. So how are you, Guy?
Really good, mate. Great to see you again. It's wonderful to be here at your beautiful headquarters. What a lovely place this is, looking out the window at all the beautiful Australian wildlife.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you here this morning. It's been a good catch-up since we last saw you in Equitana 2022. And between that time, you spent some time in America, and now you're back on home soil. So how's everything been going, Guy?
No, thank you. It's a big trip coming home. It's a 16-17 hours on a plane, and we travel from our home base there in Texas, in Mount Pleasant, Texas, where we stay at the Prefit Ranch. They're our beautiful supporters over there, look after the horses. So we finished a tour there, a 3-month tour, and I trimmed up my horses. I try and do all the trimming and all the work with them. When I'm away, we have a very good farrier, but when I'm there, I try and do everything for them. I try to be the horseman they deserve, and then we get in the plane and we fly over here, and we're normally exhausted. You travel all across America to some of the biggest events. We were at Columbus, Ohio for Equine Fair. They have close to 100,000 people over 4 days there. And then we were in a plane, went to Canada and worked young horses there, and then was back and doing other shows. And then you're absolutely worn out. I say, damn, I'm going to need a break when we get home. And then you get home and you see all your horses here. They haven't been touched for 3 months, and they're fresh and they're happy and they're vibrant. And you just instantly get caught up with that. And what I love about coming from America to Australia is when you fly the other way, you get there and you're jet lagged and you want to be up all night and then sleep till lunchtime. Whereas when you come back this way, you want to be up at 3 a.m, you want to be asleep by 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And that just sounds like a good Aussie horseman to me. You're up early to take care of your horses and you're asleep by 7. So it's fantastic coming back. And the biggest question I probably get asked on that is, who trains your horses while you're gone? Who looks after them? And I say, no one. They say, well, who we make sure that they're fed and looked after and have their feet done if they need. And they say, how do they come after a break? And I say, well, my educated ones, it's as though they look at me and go, good to see you, Dad. It's been good. We've had a really good holiday, though, and we love holiday time. So it's like they look at each other and go, what did we do last time that enabled us to have all this good time off? And so one of them goes, Bucky goes, well, I remember I laid down and you three side passed over the top of me and you showed off and did some stops and turns, and then he chased the bullock ground a little bit and then everybody clapped and then we got a holiday. And it's like they try and bring that back to me, which is wonderful. So I'm very, very aware when my horses are educated, I treat them very much like gold. When I'm training them, it's like finding a piece of gold and you rub the dirt off it and you make it as shiny as possible, and then you hide it away on the shelf so no one steals it. And that's sort of what I do with my performance horses. And so I'll come home, do 2 or 3 days with them and be back performing at a show. And then you've got to worry about, you know, their muscles and you know, them not getting overworked and traveling on the road. And well, that's where Sen comes in. Like the horses, when we're away, dear old Nugget is on it all the time. My performance horses are just on quality hay, but when we're home, they go back on all the good stuff that Nugget's on. And I do see an incredible reward from it. And I don't know if they miss me as much as I miss them, but they certainly get looked after great when we're home. And I just love being able to come back and get caught up in their exuberance for life once they've had a break.
We know you cherish your horses. They've had the Guy McLean training touch. And as you said there, they know their role, but they know that their dad is back. We're just really happy to work with you on the nutrition side. And we know what you feed is a balanced profile. So then you can return to that work, or they can return to the work that they need to when you're back in Australia.
Yeah, no, and people always say, you know, they've always said to me, They love the way my horses seem to shine from the inside out, and that's because they're happy mentally and emotionally. But to have the physical help, and dear old Nugget, I mean, I had him, we were speaking before, I had him since he was a 16-month-old colt out of the bush, and I was told he was worth $200, and so we bought him, and I trained him up. The idea was to sell him and buy better horses. Well, I couldn't find a better horse. You know, he ended up being who I was and made me in so many ways. And he got to 10-year-old, and he had what was called decimitis of the coffin bone. He showed lameness, and that horse was tough. He was never one. I've got a great horse in my team now. If he sees another horse get bitten by a mosquito, he'll cry about it. Like he doesn't like the thought of being hurt, whereas Nugget was tough. So we went to a vet and they said, well, he's got decimitis of the coffin bone. I said, dumb it down, please, doc. I'm not that clever. And he said, he's got ring bone. And you could probably get him through for another 4 or 5 years if you use synthetic drugs, but then you'd have to put him to sleep. And I said, done, he's retired. I took him home and he was at the height of my career. Like there was no Guy McLean with that Nugget. And so I had made the decision. I just knew in my heart then that it was the right thing. I'd rather have him for 20 years happy and well than 5 years famous and then gone. And so the vets still talk about that. They say that fella's the real deal, because we never saw him perform with that horse again, and yet he's still happy, live and well. He's 28-year-old. He never had any white on his face, and now his whole face is white. Okay. He's hardly got any teeth, but he gums down his Sen products every day. And he's just the most wonderful old man. And we had him on synthetic products, as I say. And then once we found out about the Sen, he hasn't been on them since. And I ride up and down his fence. Our property's called Nugget's Rest. And I ride up and down the fence past his. And he looks at me saying, I'm still the best horse on the property. He still believes he is at 28 years of age. And so I'm so grateful to Sen, because horses won't lie. We can have a placebo effect. We can have a sugar tablet and think that it's a headache tablet, whereas a horse won't do that. If it don't work, it won't work. So we're just so grateful for that, and you know, your family to us, you help Nugget, and he's my everything. And I don't know how much longer I'll have him, but I'm looking at him, we've got his model on the table here, and he makes me tear up just thinking about him. So we're just so grateful for what you've done for us. You've taken care of our horses, and that means more to us than anything.
It's such touching words, Guy, and Nugget is probably grateful for you, because to retire a horse in their prime, to really look after them, just shows the character of who you are. And we're just honored to be a part of helping Nugget in his like his later years, 28 years. I was speaking to Emily and Guy before the podcast of what his feeding regime is. He doesn't have the best teeth. He actually doesn't have many teeth. Yeah, and so he has to rely on some loosened chaff to have some of that roughage in that old age, and then it's balanced through the Sen grain free, Sen lupins. He's getting that fiber, the vitamin minerals to support his body, and then the Sen gold, as that's Guy's probably favorite product. Mm-hmm. And he really mm-hmm. noticed the real difference with Nugget, especially when he was on that product and the oil. He's 28. He's going to keep living on. And
if he outlives us, we just have to make sure that you look after him here. He'll have to be your poster boy, because we used to just throw hay over the fence and the poor old boy can't eat it. And we were seeing him decline. Well, he's not declining anymore. He's old, but he's healthy. Yeah. And I'd love to, like at 28, it probably has him in his mid-80s. The way he struts around the place telling everyone how great he is, I'd love to be like that when I'm 80.
Excuse me, Goosebumps, when you talk about him, and as you said, life-changing horse, and to have a model after him, it's
pretty cool. I promised him when he was four. I looked him in the eye when I was just starting to get Brisbane Eckers and some of the big shows, and I've been on stage with him in front of 20,000 people at Gympie Muster, and I looked him in the eye and I made a heartfelt promise. And I know he doesn't speak English, but I made a heartfelt promise. I'm going to make you world famous, mate. And then 10 years later, it took longer than I thought. We're ready to go to the States. We have everything lined up. And he's got this decimitis of the coffin bone. I can't take him. I'm not taking him over. So I cried into his ear for about a minute and said, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it come true. And then we go to America and we do some big things over there, and I win a world championship and we're at all the major events. And Brian Model, who made his doll now, they said, we want to use one of your horses as a celebration horse. There'll be about 300 models. And I said, oh, no. I said, I'd rather you leave that for four runs if you're going to have these horses here because they're going to be famous for the next 10 years. And I said, I'd love the old stallion to have it. And they said, oh, no, he's not famous enough over here. And then the Aussie girl comes up to him and goes, you're not going to do a nugget doll. You're crazy, mate. She goes, you get them and I'll sell them in Australia. I'll sell out of those things. So they made it and they ended up making them. They made thousands of them. And they've been sold in Europe and all over Australia. They were sold out in Australia very quickly. We bought the last 100 of them when they stopped making them. I've got a bunch of them.
You gave me one, thank you.
Yeah, but I was able to that promise that I made him, it was able to come true. That horse is famous all over the world through Briar, and so I've never been someone who makes promises that I can't keep, and I promised him I'd make him world famous, and to see him sitting on the table here is a promise come true.
He's such a genuine man, guy.
Like, yeah. Emily's nodding, by the way. My wife's here. She's nodding. She's not shaking her head.
It's just an honour to be in your presence. And thank you. Yeah, we just so excited to have you live and on the podcast today. And we might move along into our Send Users Group questions. That thank you, everyone who submitted. I actually had some private messages as well and emails, and we can't go through all of them, but we have selected a few that Guy will answer and we'll elaborate on. So let's start off with Gaylene Nichols. Thanks for submitting this question. So Gaylene has a rising two-year-old that she wants to start training towards Liberty. He's well handled, light on the lead rope, just learning to yield his hindquarters. What else can work? He's easy to catch most of the time, but he doesn't follow unless he's on the lead rope, meaning limited connection.
Thanks very much, Gaylene. This is probably one of the most, and there's two or three questions that we've been asked all about the Liberty work. And when we see Liberty, we see whether it's me with my three or four horses out running beside me, or whether it's people on the ground with horses working on the circle at Walk, Trot and Canter. You don't see any of the lead ropes, so you just assume that that's where Liberty starts. But very much like when you're coming back from an injury, you might use a crutch or you might lean on the rail. I start all of my work with a halter and lead or with a bridle so that I can actually help the horses, because training a horse at Liberty is very much like teaching a dog to lead beside you. I mean, you can work on calling the dog and have him run all over the place and go to the toilet on every tree and just keep yelling at him and hoping he comes back, or you can have a lead on him and you can guide him and help him. And then when you take that dog along and he's no longer pulling against the lead and he sits when you stop and he lays down when you point at the ground, then we unclick the lead and see how strong that connection is. So I do that with my Liberty training. My big thing is that I want to have a one-on-one relationship with my horse so that I can help him through everything that he knows about the world and everything he doesn't know. And horses are born to understand Liberty, because Liberty is, when from the time they're born, within half an hour they jump up and they're running beside mum in a Liberty position that my horses perform in. They're running by that shoulder. Mum walks, the baby walks. If the baby gets out of position, mum turns and goes the other way, and the baby says, wait for me, and runs back into that position. And if the baby's being naughty, mum kicks him out of that position and says, you go away out there where the predators are, and when you're a good boy, let you come back in here. So my training is very much like that. But in saying that, we have to teach the horses the things they don't know. And a horse doesn't know what physical pressure means. So when we put a halter on, and one of the questions here is about how to do that, when we put a halter on and we teach a horse to give when we pick up pressure to the left or to move away from physical pressure, it doesn't compute to them because when in their whole makeup is, if I give to the physical pressure of something from an outside influence, from a predator, and that's how they see us, that predator will drag me into their cave and will eat me. So that's why a lot of, when we're starting babies, that's why when we first put the halter on, they'll pull against it. If we lead them forward, they'll go backwards. So we need to teach them to give to physical pressure. And what I love about horses so much is that they can change. I can take a young horse that's never been handled and be riding him in an hour, and that'd be like taking a human that's been in the bush their whole life and then taking them into town and giving them a job. You couldn't do it in a day. The horses are the most adaptable, incredible animals in the world, and they're also one of the most dangerous animals in the world because of their power and their size. And that's why so many people get hurt, is because they're not thinking of where the horse is coming from. And when we train a horse, we're thinking of the ribbons we might win, or the Facebook likes we might get from riding bridleless, or the shows we might do. The horse is thinking, will I live through today? Will I get through today so I see tomorrow. So his needs and wants in life are so much more than ours, because if we're worried about just being alive, that's a pretty big need. So when I'm working them on the ground, and I've seen a lot of good Liberty horses, some of the best in the world. I've been blessed to ride in the same arenas as them. They'll do all their Liberty and they'll run around side by side with their owners and that. But when it comes to loading them on a trailer and that, I won't mention a name because I love her, but she's got horses that take three people to get on the truck. Well, to me, if you can't point and have your horses load on by themselves and give to pressure and do the things they need to do, they're not ready. They're not really solid partners. So I teach my horses on the end of the lead or in my long reining or my halter that I can guide them through their bridle or through their halter to such a position. I say, these are the positions I want you to have. So if you're out on a circle, I want you bent through the rib cage in a riding position that I'd love to be sitting on. All my groundwork is for me to go, Dan, that looks good. Can I please ride it? So I won't get on a horse until they're doing things that are great on the ground. And then I'll do it until that rein becomes loose, and to everything from stopping to backing up to turning left and right. If I never have to use that rein, the horse is at liberty. If he's leaning on the rein or he's pulling against it, he's not prepared to do it. So when I might work him for 4 or 5 days with the end of the lead and help them when they need to. And then in a good size round pen, in America I say pre-fit round pens because that's who we're sponsored by and we love them. They don't have them here in Australia, but we would take unclick the halter or take the lead off and just see how strong that was. Was that connection just through the lead, or was it through my body positioning? Was it the horse watching me and listening to me? And normally after you've done that, if you do 3 or 4 days on the end of a lead properly and they're not pulling on it, and don't be frightened when they pull on it. You just teach them to give to pressure and give to you. When you take the lead off, they might work for 30 or 40 seconds before they realize there's no lead. Then they run away and say, look how big and fast and strong I am. And we go back and we catch them and we rebuild that connection. So when my horses are at liberty, people say it's like there's a string on them. Well, there is. And that string is from my heart to theirs, connecting us together. And when you're working at liberty, don't be frightened if your horse runs away, because the best liberty horses in the world have all run away. And actually, the more they run away, the more chances they get to come back. A liberty horse that has never run away is never truly at liberty, because he's never been able to test that strength. And the way that we make the best ropes in the world is to have thousands and thousands of fibers to make the one rope. If it's only one fiber and it breaks, it's the others won't hold on. So that's the liberty horse. My best liberty horses are the ones that run off the most, because then they come back the most. And the very best liberty horse I've got in the world, Hope, he ran away more than others, and now he won't leave. He says, I know what running away is. That's just hard work. I'll just stay where I need to do and do what I need to do. So create that connection with the gear so much, and then take it off and see where it's at. But having your horse give to pressure, that when we pick up on their nose, they soften through the back and back up and soften their body parts to the physical touch, makes them better riding horses, because some of the world's best liberty horses, they can't even ride. And to me, if they're not able to be good riding horses and good partners first, they're not ready for liberty anyway. So all my best horses would go out and compete and chase a cow and work in the mountains and then do liberty on the weekends for fun. So build that connection so strong that when we take the lead away, the connection is still there. Sorry, that was so long-winded.
No. We'll send Gaylene the bill for that advice.
Good luck, Gaylene.
That's so comprehensive and makes total sense, Guy. And that's, I just love the heart-to-heart thing. It's just,
thank you.
That's where I am. I was connected to that. That was just such a good summary. How do you identify a liberty horse? Like
what liberty means is they're at liberty to do whatever they truly want to do.
Yeah.
So you're hoping that the horse looks for you and wants to be with you, because they are at liberty to do whatever they like. My liberty horses could jump the string line and head home if they wanted to, but they choose to be with me. And that's what I love about them. And people say, Guy, you're a humble man. I said, I work 3 liberty teams across the world. There's nothing more humbling than working horses and they go, you got no lead on me today. I could go wherever I want. And but when they choose to be with you, there's a power in that as well. So a lot of people come up to me and go, I got the perfect horse for you. And they say it in America a lot in a different accent. They say, my horse, all he wants to do is lay down and stand around all day. They said, he'd be no good to me. I said, he hasn't got any heart and he hasn't got any desire. The best Liberty horses I've had and the best Liberty horses in the world, even though I'm the stock horse ambassador and I use all Australian stock horses, the best Liberty trainers in the world use Arabs and Andalusians, because they're like flying a kite in the wind. They're so light and everything means so much to them. And a good stock horse is a little bit like that also. But it's about having them So I could do anything and I could be anywhere, but I choose to be with you. So the horse that doesn't want to run away or just wants to lay down all day, when it comes to needing him to do that for me in a show under the pressures of everything, he'll go, you never had to teach me this. It was for free. And as we all know, anything that's given for free never means anything. It never has a value. So the horse, I got a gorgeous little mare at home that she's got all the best blood in the stock horse world. And the stock horse people would know that when I say she's got two crosses of Romeo and three crosses of Abbey and one cross of Cadet, they go, man, she's going to be a lot of horse till she's about seven. And I lay her down. She said, I'll lay down pretty good, but I'm getting up straight away. And she laid down 15 times in a session the other day before she stayed down and let me side pass over her. Now, the lazy one would have laid down twice for me, and then he would have said, no, I'm quitting that. The mare said, I don't get it, but I'm not going to quit trying. And effort is what makes a great Liberty horse for me, is that a horse shows you everything they have and then you're able to have a real conversation with them. The ones that look lazy and quiet, it's not easy for them. And people see me in front of 20,000 people talking and think I'm an extrovert. I am a nervous, shy little boy inside. But I have so much to say, and the power of what I want to say is so important to me that I rise above that. But, you know, I'm not someone who wants to... I mean, it's important for me to be here sharing this, but I just can't wait to get back to my gelding drover and riding this afternoon. I can't wait to go in the room and sleep. You know, I'm not someone who wants to be in front of people talking for the sake of it. A great Liberty horse doesn't start off wanting to run beside you, be with you, but they try for the nose out and they know that that's the best position. And what we need to know too is with horses is that they're born into a world of opposite for us. When we ask them to come left, their body, mind tells them to go right. So when we teach them, and so they'll say a lot of no. They're no horses. And when you saddle up a double cross of Romeo, they're going to say no. They'll buck with the saddle and stuff. But they'll only do it for 10 seconds until they realise. And once they learn to say yes, the horse that said no with real passion will say yes with real passion. Whereas the horse that goes, oh, I don't care, the quiet one, when it comes to doing something special, he'll go, I don't care. You know, and you look at the best sportsmen in the world, the ones that are incredible athletes and do things easy. I won't mention names, but it rhymes with Pyrios. You know, he was incredible, incredible natural athlete, but he hasn't got the heart. And then little Johnny Thurston, everyone says, would be no good and had no guts and you know, was too small. His heart drove behind him and he became one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. So try is what I look for in a Liberty horse. Even when he's doing the wrong thing, as long as he's doing it with effort and as long as he's got conviction, my best horses start off, Spinab used to gallop backwards when I was on him. And even though it scared me, I thought, man, I can't wait till he does it for me. And now I've taught him to do it. He's one of the only horses in the world that can do it. But he wouldn't have been able to do that without doing it for himself in the beginning. So all I want from a Liberty horse is try and effort to keep trying to find the answer. And I'll just make sure I give him the right questions.
That's fantastic information, Guy, from my own question. And that's I'll be part of the Send Users group.
Yeah, you will.
Speaking of Andalusians, we have Leanne Colby. She's asked a question through our Facebook, and she has a purebred Andalusian filly that is totally unhandled. She recently purchased it, very sensitive, with a high self-preservation. She will face up, follow and touch with her nose, but will keep that tiny airspace between us when trying to touch. Will she eventually relax and allow touches and ultimately a halter, or is there another method going to be necessary, like an experienced person to put a rope over her? I obviously prefer the first option, but am I wasting time looking for something that may not eventuate? She's been in captivity, in inverted commas, for 2 months and home with me for a month. Any advice, Guy, would be appreciated.
Thank you, Leanne. This is so tricky. Anything with horsemanship is tricky because a lot of people, if we was to put in the Google search engine ropes and horses, you would see horses being mishandled with ropes. Many, many years ago, they would rope a horse. You watch Spirit, the movie. They have throw four ropes on this horse and they drag him into captivity, and it's awful. And when you think about it and you look at it in that position, no, you wouldn't want to put a rope on a horse. But I see a rope as a different thing. I see a rope as me touching the horse from a position of comfort for me. So everything that you've done with him already, having her come up and follow you around and that sort of stuff, that is what she's been born to understand. That when you pressure, she would go away. When you back away, she would come towards you. And that's how all my babies are. At 6 months of age, I can walk around the paddock and all my babies will follow me around with about 2 feet away from me. And if I reached out to touch them, they would all canter off. And a lot of people would think that bad. I love it. It'd be like having kids in the park waving to everyone, being nice. But if someone come along and parked their van up and said, kids hop in, they go, nah, stranger danger. I think young, uneducated horses need to be that way. And the horses that are taught from an early age that are handled too much as babies that would climb in that van, well, they're not equipped. They can get themselves in trouble. So I would, if she was with me, say I was to come to your place. I don't have time to do that anymore, sorry, but I used to do it all the time. I would get some physical touch on her. Say she was in a stall, I would even get, this might be something that you could do, I would get a broom handle, just a nice soft stick, and I would see if I could reach out and touch her with that the first time, with me being 3 or 4 feet away or a good 8 feet away with that broom handle. Obviously, you have to be very careful that she doesn't wheel around and kick or do that kind of thing, but if you could rub her with that where you're far enough away from her that if she was to reach out with a foot or to kick, because I'll give you just a quick story, and I say quick and I take a long while to say quick stories, but I had a little Brumby mare come to me at a clinic, and at the time I was teaching them to follow me around, and I was riding them bridleless and saddleless, and the very first ride I used to slip up on them and hold onto their mane, and this beautiful little mare come in and I got her to follow me around the yard like a little puppy. It was awesome, and I'm thinking, man, I'm doing a great job, I'm going to be one of the world's best horsemen. I was about 22, 23. And I reached out to touch her nose. And when she touched me and put her physical touch on me, she struck. I actually reached out with my hat, I think, to touch her the first time, just to give me that little bit of extra reach. And she struck my then Akubra out of my hand as quick, because to her, that, you know, horses never get physically held by another horse, and if they do, it's only when they're being bred or if they're being attacked by another horse. So it wasn't until I flicked a soft rope on her and handled, and she bucked and jumped when I put the rope on her, that I was able to actually touch her from a safe distance. So I, with this, with the broom handle or even a pool noodle would be fine, because if they strike at a pool noodle, they won't hurt themselves. You can rub their neck and you can rub their back and you can get them used to a physical touch. But if you, to me, I love the idea of the rope, a soft rope, because I actually tie a knot in it. I tie a double granny knot, which is like a, I think it's called a true lover's knot in it, so that it won't close down on their neck. So I would softly get that that rope over the top of her neck, and that would go around, close around her neck, but it wouldn't close so tight that it would take her breathing away. And from there, I'd be able to touch her with that. So even if she turned around, and this would be in a round pen or in a stable if I thought I was safe, but I'd have to really feel safe in there with her. And I would be able to press her and release with that and be able to touch her as though my hand's on her. And if she wanted to run away, I could move away with her. Whereas if you reach out and you're trying to put a halter on her the first time and she jumps away, you lose that connection, and then horses can get really tough with that. So just say, whoever's using the rope, as long as they would have, if they were touching them with their hands with respect and kindness and thoughtfulness, they can use the rope the same way. You know, we can throw a feel out with the rope exactly the same way as our hand, but from a safe position. And then the horse still sees us out in front of them. So I think that rope well handled, a soft rope that won't burn them. And if you think about it, if you have to wear gloves when you're handling a horse with rope, you're not using a soft enough rope, and you're being too tough with it, because if it's burning your hands, it's going to be hurting the horse. But if you can work with a rope that doesn't burn your hands, as far as the rope's that soft and it's that good on the horse, you can help that mare, and then you can start to teach her to yield to that physical pressure that we talk about. And I'd love for you to be able to do it without it, but she's going to have to wear a halter one day, which is physical pressure from the distance. She's going to have to wear a bridle, and as long as you're doing it from a position of, everything I do for your greater good. So with my beautiful daughter, April, who grew up with her mum, I only had her till she was 2. When I would discipline her, and she'd say, Daddy, why aren't you letting me do this? I'd say, darling, in the moments when I'm doing this, it's for your greater good. I'm showing more love and more care to you than when I give you a lolly, or when I say, yes, you can do whatever you want to do. And she now thanks me for that. She thanks me for those times, because if we don't, the longer it takes us to get a handle, say it took us a year to get a halter on this beautiful mare, doing it without the rope, That mare won't have any understanding, wouldn't be able to lead her onto a float. We won't be able to help her in any shape, way or form. Whereas if we could get a hold on her today, today might be a tough day for her. She might have some struggle and some adversity, but we've all gone through that. We've all had days that we thought were difficult in the moment, and we look back and say, I'm really grateful for that day. I would try to get a rope on her and handle her and get her as soon as I can. I've had people say to me, Guy, you look like you're in a hurry when you train a horse. And that was at the World Championships when I'm on them in 20 minutes and I'm riding them around bridleless on the third day and that kind of thing. I say, I am in a hurry. I'm in a busting hurry to teach them about our world because our world is so different to theirs. This beautiful little filly, I can see her in my mind. I picture her right now. She's saying what I was born and bred to do, to keep myself safe, to stay away from situations that are scary, to push into pressure when I feel pressure so I will not get hurt, to kick and to fight and to flee until I'm safe. That'll keep her safe. If you put her out in the wild, that mare is equipped to live in the wild. But in our world of we want to tie you up for 2 hours, we want to wash you in a wash bay, we want to put shoes on you, we want to ride you, the poor darling doesn't have the tools. So I'd be saying to her, come into my world, sweetheart, and let me show you the things that once you learn to give to physical pressure, once I can touch you in all positions on your body and you yield to those touches, I will keep you safe and look after you. It's like a lot of people who reach for God. When we can give ourselves over to someone who's bigger than us, there's an incredible breath of well, my horses look at me and say, don't worry, we don't need to worry, Dad's got it. So I would try to get this soft rope with a knot in it so it doesn't close down on the neck and help her like that, because otherwise we're just going to be taking a long time before we can truly help her, because our world of giving to physical pressure is something she doesn't understand yet. And as long as you're doing it from a position of, darling, I do this all for you, it might be hard now, it will get easier. I often look in the eye of a young horse and say, I promise you, and I don't make promises I can't keep, I promise you it will get easier. And my good horses watch me as I work a young horse in the arena, and they go, just do what he says, he knows what he's doing, it'll get a lot easier if you just do what he says. And I hope that for you, darling, but the rope is not a problem use it the same way you would use your hands. But certainly I just wish you all the very best and hope that this filly can believe in you as much as you do her.
Thanks so much, Guy. That was
you asked for 5 hours of info, didn't you?
Sorry. I'm not all day. I'm happy to be here all afternoon. This is so fascinating. We just love you, Guy.
Thank you.
Now, probably finally, I had a few private messages from some of our clients, and this is probably going to take you back with how much influence and how touching Guy and Nugget were back in the early 2000s. So I had a message from one of our clients. So Holly Graham Jones, she runs Queen's Farm, of a boutique mare and rehab farm in Victoria. And Guy's probably like, what's this got to do with me? So this is the effect that Guy has on everyone that he meets. So Holly saw Guy and Nugget at the Royal Show in 2005. And she said it changed everything that she saw in a horse and has led to a different, well, since then it led to a different outlook on the equine individual, which has led Holly into doing a Bachelor of Equine Science to do further research and continue to be an equine advocate. And all this has been based on simple words that Guy said that day. And it was, our horse is our mate and they want to make us happy, and it's our job to make that easy for them. And everything you do, your actions also speak louder than your words, Guy, and you practice what you preach. And we can't thank you enough for what you do with the horses in our whole Australian and even the overseas and America community. So
thank you,
we mate. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly, and thank you for doing what you're doing for the horses. And I sometimes wonder, I've said it to Emily, and especially before I was taking the collagen, I used to wake up about 8 years ago now, I was waking up screaming in pain. And I'm not, in my family, I'm the youngest of 5 boys. I never saw my grandfather wince in pain. I've never seen my dad, and they've had a horrific injury. Showing weakness for pain was never allowed. They don't mind if we cry, if we love someone, but we're never allowed to show weakness like that. So when I wake up, I'm screaming in pain. I rolled over to Emily and I said, I need help, because my hips have a lot of arthritis. And so we went and we had steroid injections that helped me for 3 or 4 months. Where I said, I can never feel that way again. And then when we saw all that greatness for Nugget on the gold and Nugget's running around the paddock trying to make as many more Nugget babies as he can, he was so full of himself. I said, I want what he's on. So then we got onto the collagen and I'd be lost without that now. But back when I said that, I rolled over to Emily and I'm 48 now, so I was 43, and I said to her, I was in so much pain, I said to her, have I done enough? And she said, what do you mean? I said, because if this pain keeps up, I don't want to live. It was awful. It was like as having knives shoved into me through my hip pain. And she said, shut up, you got plenty more to do, basically. But I was just wondering if I had done enough for the horse industry and if I'd given enough. And so when I hear things like that, and we did a meet and greet the other day at Greg Grant's Saddlery, and people come up and said, you're the reason that I got into horses, and you're the reason I'm still into horses. And I say to everyone, when we put the time and effort and we do what we do, it's to give back to them, because I've been very loved my whole life by my friends and family. My family's been wonderful to me, but I felt so small and so insignificant in the beginning. And I've been in moments in my life when my little daughter was taken away and her mum didn't want to be with me anymore, and I wanted to end it all. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my horses. And that's because I had to get up every morning to feed them, because I knew that if I was gone, no one could keep Nugget and look after them. I had 20 horses at the time. And so they dragged me out of depression. I wasn't diagnosed, but I know I was depressed. And they kept me going. And so now wherever I go, I try and give back to them, because I know I wouldn't be here without them. And so when I hear that, it brings tears to my eyes, because you're giving back to the horses. And I just want the world to know that we need them so much, because there's all these advocates and that saying now telling us that we shouldn't have animals and we shouldn't have pets. And if you take my horses from me today, I'd be in a straitjacket tomorrow, or I'd be gone. I don't want to be without them. So to hear that there's more horse lovers in this world, and I've had a little bit to do with that, well, that means a lot to me, and it'll keep me going for a long time.
Yeah, and most importantly, they're echoing your message. They're echoing the way you treat horses, and that's has to be a testament to how much impact you had back then with Nugget. But no, also
Nugget had the impact. I didn't even know who I was. People go, have you heard of Guy McLean? No, never heard of him. Nugget. Yeah, Nugget's me. Well, he's the fellow that feeds him. And I'm good with that. I don't know who painted Mona Lisa. I don't know. He was probably a famous painter, but I know the painting, and everyone knew Nugget, and they knew him because I believed in him as he believed in me. And I love him. I'll go and give him a big cuddle. He doesn't like cuddles anymore. He's like an old man who says, just feed me, stupid. But I'll give him a big cuddle, because I always have a cry in his ear when I give him a cuddle.
That's awesome. Well, Guy, I think I've taken enough of your time.
I've spent plenty of yours. You have to recharge your batteries.
I'm here. No. But we're very grateful. Myself, Peter, and the whole Send team, we're so grateful for you and Emily for all your support of our company. We want to keep growing, and as we have the same message that we are for the horse at the end of the day, we want what's best, and we want genuine actions towards them. We don't want any of these smoke and mirrors that are out there in the industry, where we're both family run, family owned, not corporate type companies. And yeah, we just want to give back, obviously, to the horse community where we can, with the education and the knowledge that's going to better the horse's life at the end of the day. And we can't thank you enough for your time.
Well, I appreciate
today.
It. And when I was doing the meet and greet the other day, I said, I feel uncomfortable. I'm not being with my horses. I'm a man who loves to go out and show who we are and let that speak the world. But if this becomes valuable to your readers and your followers and that want to do more of it, I'd love to do more of it. I mean, I'm hoping that they will get something out of what I said, but I just want you to know that no one, we go out into the arena and you look at us and think that everything's brilliant. I have to go through all the same troubles that these readers are when they were asked these questions. But you just need to know that if you open your heart up to them and you continue to find ways that'll work for them. I ask every horse that I work with, I say, these are the tools that I have, and I will use all of them to help you today. But if you have something that you can teach me that I don't know, I'm open to it. And that's what I love about a horse, is a horse knows more in the first 30 minutes of his life about being a horse than I'll know when I'm dead. But I ask him. That's why I don't reach out and ask other horsemen anymore. I used to ask them. I never liked the answers, because it came from a human point of view. So we want to be a leader for them, but they will give you the answers. If you own a horse, you have the world's best horsemanship teacher in your backyard. You just have to work with them and ask for them to share stuff with you. I mean, Nugget was every new little thing I did, I'd take it back to go Nugget and say, does this work? And he'd go, yeah, oh, we can do that, but I'm not going to do this. And I love him for that. So if we could do more of this in the future and your readers want to see more of it, I'd be open to it because you're good people. You not only have a good product, but I just like being in your presence. And now that I've got my coffee sorted because I've got my collagen in, I like spending time with you. So thanks for having us.
Thanks so much, Guy. We're very grateful. And I think we'll wrap this one up. And if anyone would like to comment, Spotify and Apple now have comment sections for the podcast. And yeah, we'll be with you with another podcast next week. Thanks very much. And thank you very much, Guy, again.
Thank you.